Good morning. My name is Miranda, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Megacable's earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question-and-answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Kenia Vargas of iAdvize Corporate Communications for opening remarks.
Thank you, and welcome to Megacable's third quarter 2019 conference call. At this time, I would like to introduce Megacable's management and today's presenters. Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Zetter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be discussing the quarterly results before moving on to the Q&A session. It is important to mention that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, the company's performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions and could materially change throughout the year. Please review the complete disclaimer presented in the financial earnings report that was issued yesterday. You may contact us at 212-406-3696 if you didn't receive the quarterly report or if you need any assistance. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Thank you, Kenia. Good morning to all, and thank you for joining us as we review the results of the third quarter of the year. During this period, the company managed to improve the level of new net adds when compared to the first 6 months of the year. Despite no signs of economic recovery, while also recording double-digit growth in revenue. According to the International Monetary Fund, domestic issues lower growth at the global markets, as well as roadblocks in the commercial relationship between the U.S. and Mexico, have resulted in a continued deceleration of the Mexican economy during the quarter. GDP estimates continued to adjust downward as a result of all of these factors. Excluding inorganic growth, RUUs across the three services in the massive segment grew at a faster pace than in the previous quarter. The company has aimed to offer attractive additional services in order to increase the ticket per subscriber. Services such as XView, HD, and premium packages have allowed us to continue growing our ARPU per unique subscriber despite this challenging landscape. As for XView, we recorded another strong quarter of net adds. Content consumption across the platform also continues to grow. We're certain that the new generation of platform will include more interesting features, will be the main growth driving engine in our pay TV services in the upcoming years. Once again, the corporate telecom segment recorded impressive growth during the quarter, particularly Ola, which has strong competitive advantage due to its broad portfolio of innovative products and services. MetroCarrier also has continued to penetrate markets, achieving solid growth in both on-net and off-net cities during this quarter, while MCM continues to post good results for the period. Moving on to the subject of our debt, during the quarter we refinanced most of our debt, which left us in a solid leverage position. As has been our practice, we maintain a strong balance sheet and remain ready to take on the challenges and opportunities that may arise in the future. In terms of the special projects that we have been working on the past 2 years, we are pleased to report that the inauguration of our very own data center will take place in mid-November. This facility will have top-tier technology operated by highly trained personnel. Will focus on supporting growth in our corporate market business and will represent a new revenue source for Megacable. Additionally, we are very pleased to announce that at the end of November, we will officially launch our MVNO service. At the beginning, this launch will take place to 11 cities with competitive packages and rates. Then, we hope to expand the service to the entire Megacable territory. We believe that this product will not only support us in expanding our telco offer, it will also more strongly position our service with current and new subscribers, making us more competitive in the long term. In conclusion, during the third quarter, we continued to work diligently to achieve the growth we anticipated, despite the challenging situations we faced. Our aim is to continue to grow our businesses while at the same time expanding our portfolio of services as well as making investments to stay at the top of the technology and to boost our corporate segment and generate additional revenue. As a result of this, we expect that the company's strong position will continue generating value in the coming periods. Thank you for your attention. At this point, I will turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so that they may provide us with additional details regarding the company's operating and financial results. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Now we will review the operating results for the quarter. To continue with Enrique's comments, the company does not perceive a recovery in the general economic activity. However, even in this scenario, we continue improving the figures of gross adds to similar levels we had in the first 9 months of last year, recording solid growth in data and telephony while slightly improving our video subs. All this regardless of the stagnation in the telco market across the three services. We continue focusing on triple play packages, therefore improving our RGUs per unique subscriber, which has allowed us to maintain consistent growth in revenues. Economic conditions have impacted the level of churn, especially in video and broadband, which increased 20 basis points compared to the previous quarter and to the third quarter of 2018. Telephony, on the other hand, decreased 20 basis points in both comparisons, supported by strategies implemented to motivate subscribers to maintain services. Moving on to the results, at the end of the quarter, we reached 3.6 million unique subscribers in the MASIC segment, out of which more than 280,000 are small and medium enterprises. On the other hand, REUs rose to 8.4 million, a 7% increase when compared to the third quarter of last year, as a result of subscriber increase across all the three segments of the MASIC market. Video subscriber increased by 1%, while broadband grew 6% and telephony 19% when compared to the same quarter of last year. As a result, we reached 2.3 RGUs per unique subscriber. The video segment rose to more than 3.2 million subs at the end of the quarter, recording net adds of 44,000 when compared to the same quarter of last year. On a sequential basis, we posted another period of subscriber growth, adding 6,000 new RGUs. XView continues to perform well. This quarter, we achieved more than 95,000 net additions, reaching a total of 717,000 subscribers. We are satisfied with the results from this platform so far, but we remain committed to improving the capabilities and features that this service can offer. On the other hand, during the quarter, we achieved 110,000 new subscriptions to our HD service to reach more than 912,000 subscribers. In broadband, the company rose to almost 3.1 million subs at the end of the quarter, 173,000 net adds when compared to the same quarter of last year. On a sequential basis, 44,000 net adds were recorded when compared to second quarter 2019. Growing demand for data continues to drive up high-speed internet subscriptions, and Mega Cable remains very competitive in this market, given its ability to offer reliable packages with 100 or up to 200 megs. Higher speeds will continue to be offered in the near future. During this quarter, we installed approximately 1,000 new Wi-Fi hotspots for a total of 9,600 across our coverage areas, through which we offer our subscribers connectivity in public places such as malls and parks. More than 800 terabytes are downloaded through this network so far. The telephony segment continues to grow and during this quarter surpassed the 2 million subs, recording 335,000 net adds on a yearly basis and 85,000 net adds versus the previous quarter. Even though this service is an add-on to broadband, with a significant increase in subscribers, it also represented a 3.3% increase in gross revenue compared with the second quarter of this year. As a result of our bundling strategy, focused mainly on the sale of triple play packages, our product mix has already reached 50% of our subscriber base with triple play packages compared to 43% a year ago. Double and single play account for 30 and 20% respectively, compared to 34 and 24% at the end of the previous year. ARPU per unique subscriber rose to 398.5 pesos this quarter, a 5% increase when compared to the same quarter of the previous year. This increase was driven by higher RUs per unique subscriber and also a result of the successful triple play sale strategy. Regarding ARPU per services, video and broadband remained practically flat when compared to the previous quarter and decreased when compared to the same period of last year. This was a seasonal effect caused by the back-to-school campaign that brings new subscribers with special rates and a low contribution to ARPU in the early months. Additionally, telephony ARPU continues to be affected by the review in our income allocation policies carried out this year to better reflect the value the market gives to the massive segment. In terms of the network, during this quarter, we built and activated more than 500 new kilometers to a total of 61,700 kilometers in the network. We're working to have the optimal combination of technologies in the network that allow us to deliver the best services, be it HFC or GPON. We are well aware of the fact that the training bandwidth consumption will only continue to increase. Therefore, we continue to split nodes so more bandwidth is allocated per subscriber and ensuring that our network remains in excellent conditions. The corporate telecom segment continues to grow despite the challenging economic situation. In that regard, OLA reached a significant 85% increase when compared to the same quarter of last year. OLA continues its development and market positioning through LAN and WAN infrastructure, IT, and cybersecurity solutions. Additionally, Metro Carrier grew 29%. This growth is coming from both on-net and off-net cities, which this quarter grew more than 43% when compared to the same quarter of last year. Off-net cities have proved to be a successful growth strategy, and as a result, we are targeting new cities for the coming years, in which we will continue to offer an excellent data transport service coupled with a wide portfolio of solutions. Altogether, our corporate segment have doubled its revenue from 2016 to the present. The three business units are more mature with continued revenue growth, good margins, and on top of that, great customer satisfaction and brand awareness. Now, Luis will take you through the financial highlights. Luis?
Thank you, Raimundo, and good morning, everyone. I will now give you more details regarding the financial results before taking your questions. Consolidated revenues for the quarter rose to 5.4 billion pesos, an 11% increase when compared to the same quarter of 2018. This is a result of outstanding growth in the corporate market, mainly in OLA and Metro Carrier, coupled with higher revenues in the Massive market. Massive segment revenue grew by 8% when compared to the third quarter of 2018. Video rose by 10% and broadband by 9%, while telephony decreased given the change in the revenue allocation established beginning of this year, as we have mentioned in previous calls. Corporate telecom revenues increased in an outstanding 32% when compared to the third quarter of last year, with a significant 85% increase in OLA during this quarter. This coming mainly from contracts with private initiatives, internet security services, as well as some government projects. Metro Carrier grew by 29% and MTM grew 6%. In terms of the revenue breakdown, the Massive market now accounts for 80% of total revenue, while corporate represented 20%, compared with 83% and 17% a year ago. Cost of services increased 14% during the quarter, mainly in the corporate segment, given a higher component of equipment sales. In the cable operations segment, costs rose 10%, pretty much in line with the revenue growth. Consolidated SG&A for the quarter increased 17% as a result of increase in utilities, full incorporation of Axtel OPEX, and additional employees to support growth in NOLA and Metrocarrier, and also the efforts to maintain the subscriber base in the massive market. All the above resulted in a $2.5 billion consolidated EBITDA, representing a 7% increase when compared to the third quarter of 2018, and a consolidated margin of 46%. On the other hand, EBITDA for cable operations accounted for $2.3 billion, increasing 5% when compared to the same period of last year for a 48% margin. The new IFRS 16 generated a positive effect of approximately $47 million in lease expense reductions for this period. Net profit for the quarter reached almost 1 billion pesos, representing a decrease when compared to the third quarter of 2018. This was mainly due to a higher component of the financing interest belonging to the increase in the debt with costs that we increased during this year. Also, on a higher depreciation component and IFRS 16 impact. With respect to debt, during the quarter, the financing of the 6.5 billion pesos that expired last July was successfully completed through bank loans. This was carried out in two tranches, the first for 3 billion pesos at a variable rate with a maturity of 3 years, and the second for 3.5 billion pesos at a fixed rate and a maturity of 5 years. Thanks to the company's healthy balance sheet, we reached very competitive rates in both cases. As a result of the above, company's net debt reached 4.2 billion pesos, a decrease when compared to the 4.5 recorded in the second quarter, mainly due to the cash generation during this period. Net debt to EBITDA ratio is now 0.43 times, representing an unlevered balance, while interest coverage ratio reached 16 times. Still very healthy level. Finally, and in terms of CapEx, during the third quarter, the company invested more than 1.5 billion pesos, which totaled for more than 4.5 billion for the first 9 months of the year, representing 28.4% of revenues for the quarter. We continue to invest in the construction of new kilometers to improve our network capacity and the acquisition of subscriber equipment, as well as special projects carried out during the period. Thank you for your attention. At this moment, we will now move to the Q&A session. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. And at this time, if you would like to register to ask a question, please press the star, then one keys on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, that's star one to enter the question queue today. We'll take our first question of the day from Guillermo Haguiara with Bradesco. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. My first question is about competition, and you mentioned a lot of efforts to retain your subscribers base. And we were just wondering if you could share with us some more details about how you have been competition in the regions where you operate. Are your competitors being more aggressive on prices, and what are your strategies to mitigate this aggressiveness?
Sure, Guillem, this is Raimundo, and thank you for the question. As you all are aware, we have competition in the majority of the markets. Broadband coming from Infinitum, which they are our main competitor in that part. Also, in some of the areas, we have Total Play, that competes with us. And in other ones, we have Televisa with the brand of Easy in some of our markets. Also, we have satellite for a long period of time being a competitor on the video part. So we're up to the competition in the majority of the markets where we have. We are aimed to retain subscribers, not just because competition or the main reason, but as we try to describe our conference, and I'm pretty sure you all are aware, economic growth for the country is practically with no growth, between 0 to 0.5% growth for the year, mostly growing to 0.3%. So what we have is a growth of population and not a growth of the GDP. So economic is hitting our industry in that part. When we say that the market is stagnate, it doesn't mean the market is not going to grow. It's the market has an economic slowdown that affects the lower economic areas. In that case, our strategy is to try to maintain and keep with us the majority of the subscribers, trying to adjust rates and packages, and of course, going for all of them in that part. And that brings a effort from the company to retain the subscribers in that part. On the other hand, we post growth in video, data, and internet. That means our kilometers that are new kilometers and the areas where we are trying to keep with the market and trying to get subscribers from other areas. Our gross ads in that part remain steady, a little bit below, and we're more focused on retaining the subscribers. What we're doing with the competition is not letting our subscribers go, trying to give a good service, improving the speed of the speeds, and also, as I said, increasing XView and HD services all across the platform, which XView being really, really well accepted in the majority and growing at a very high speed. So we have our strategy adjusted to the economic situation and to the competition. Our prices are the best in the market too. We have a low ARPU and a low rate, and we hit all the different segments of the market. I don't know, Guilherme, if that answered the question.
Sure, thanks. That's perfect. My second question is more regarding your OPEX side. I mean, we saw some pressure in your margins during the quarter, and I appreciate your comments on some of the components. We were just wondering if you could share more details about how the margin pressure from your client retention efforts contributed to this. I mean, if you could basically lead us through what part of the pressure came from retention and what part of the pressure came from the growth of your corporate telecom segment.
Yeah, well, that's, you put it very clear. We have pressure from both. We're very happy that pressure comes from corporate. Finally, all the efforts that we have in the commercial part for Metro Carrier and all that, that couples with operation of that, those two segments are paying off. We continue to improve our revenues from those two business units, and we have pressure because of the labor is higher than what we have on the massive market, and we need to invest in all the employees, but the results pay off for that part. The other portion, as you say, is to retain and maintain subscribers on the massive market. We expect the forecast that we all have for next year is an increase on the GDP for the country. We normally have that in the past when the economy does not grow. The first one to hit is the telco industry in that part, the massive segment. If the economy comes and goes back to a decent 1 to 1.5% growth, that is what analysts are targeting on that part, we expect to continue to improve the growth of subscribers and not to be so aggressive in the retention of that subscriber base that is costing us this pressure on the OPEX. As you describe, it's mainly labor, commissions to retain those subscribers, the increase of the corporate segment on that part, et cetera, et cetera. We have pressure from gasoline and those parts, which comes coupled from the number of operations that we need to do to recover those subscribers. As you know, the churn increased, but it did not go higher because of all these efforts. Even though the market is steady in terms of video, data, and telephony, that's what our numbers report, we posted a growth in subscribers and therefore in market share. So we're happy with what we saw, even though the short-term numbers put some pressure on the OPEX, and we still maintain the highest EBITDA in the industry, the EBITDA margin. So we're happy and we are confident that we will continue to post good results in the quarters to come and years to come.
Okay, thanks. That's very clear.
Thanks to you for asking.
Thank you. And we can go next to Marcelo Santos with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Actually, I have two. The first one is regarding the ARPU uplift on the video. Could you correlate that a little bit with the pickup in the XView and the HD services? I mean, how much of the ARPU increase is related to that? And should we expect the ARPU to continue growing if we continue to see higher penetration of those services? That's the first question. And the second question is, given the cost that you described and the pressures that you described in the margins in the third quarter, probably the economy is going to still be tough in the fourth quarter and you have the launch of the MVNO. So should the fourth quarter be a quarter with particular margin pressure? These are the two questions.
Thank you, Marcelo. Regarding the video ARPU, it's a combination. As I described, we have a growth in the XView, but still XView is at around 22% of the subscriber base that we have in video. The good news is that XView and HD bring the ARPU up. The bad is that we need to retain subscribers on that combination is the one that makes the ARPU video not to grow, but to remain steady. We expect that with economy to get better, the pickup of XView and HD will slightly increase video ARPU in the future. And also the pressure of bringing the growth of data and telephony over video brings a decrease because of the discount that we have to allocate to the video proportion. So those are the three factors that affect not the growth in video, but to keep the video at the level that it is. So we have one positive, which is XView and HD, and two, that is lower for subscribers to maintain on the ones that want to keep or want to be part of the churn. And the other one is the discount that we provide by the higher growth of data and telephony that affects video. So that's the main reason. The good thing is focus on the unit ARPU, that's our message. We continue to post solid results and increase the ARPU per unit subscriber. In the other one, on margins, for the fourth quarter, fourth quarter we expect to have, and Luis can get deeper into that, we expect to have good results in terms of revenue. We're above our expectations in revenue for what we are providing to you guys in the guidance and everything that we have there, both in corporate and the massive segment. And the entrance of the MVNO, even though at the beginning of the month, will not contribute to EBITDA. More than that, it will have some pressure because of the marketing efforts we need to do. We do not consider that it's going to affect fourth quarter because of the date that we are going to launch. It's going to be at the end of the year. It's not going to be that significant. We are targeting the majority for 2020. The first subscribers we're going to bring into the MVNO are aimed to our existing subscriber base, where we're going to have our marketing efforts doing in-house with our own TV channels and the service offices where we have the walk-in customers coming from the MVNO. So you cannot expect a big hit or a hit let me correct, a hit coming from the MVNO on the pressure of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and the margins we expect are slightly better than what we saw in Q3. Of course, we have to see if there are no changes in some key factors, but basically, in the current environment, we expect that slightly better than the Q3 or current quarter for the fourth quarter of 2019.
Great. Thanks a lot for the answers.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Marcelo.
Thank you. And we'll go next to Rodrigo Villanueva with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, Luis. I have a couple of questions, if I may. The first one would be related to, to your MVNO. I was wondering if you could share with us preliminary targets for 2020. And then the second question is mostly related to your revenue mix. Currently, it stands at around 80% for mass market and 20% for corporate. I was wondering if you could provide medium-term targets for this, and also if it's reasonable to assume that longer-term mass market margin should remain at around high 40s and probably corporate in the low 30s. Is that a fair assumption? Thank you.
Okay, yeah, sure. Regarding, hi, Rodrigo. Good talking to you. Regarding the MVNO, we are targeting around 150,000 subscribers by the end of 2020. Hopefully a little bit more than that. The commercial strategy is bundled with our existing massive and corporate and enterprise business. So we're aiming to data, mobile data, to all our subscribers. So we're targeting enterprise, corporate, and massive market on that part to get to around 150,000. It's gonna not contribute to the EBITDA on the first year. We expect that to be on the second year, pretty much. And in the years to come, in the next 5 years, hopefully reach between 750,000 and hopefully 2 million subscribers. That's what we have in our forecast. And we'll see how it goes as soon as we launch. The launch, as I said, is going to be to our existing subscribers. We're not going to sell to the open market. We're not going to sell in systems where Mega Cable doesn't have operations. So we're going to use our internal sales force. We're going to use pretty much our marketing communication channels. So we will keep the expenditures at the lowest with no capex, because the capex in that part is going to be aimed to the subscriber completely on the telephone, and we're not investing in infrastructure. As you know, we have a deal with Red Compartida. Hopefully we will increase that to other players, but now Red Compartida is our partner, and we expect that to increase. It's a great network. The 4.5G network that they have is completely open for our subscribers to get the benefit of that free bandwidth that they have. We tested and we have it, we adjusted that. That's why it took so long, because we work with Red Compartida or with Altan in this case to do the final tune-up of the networks in the systems where we're launching so far, which is the systems where Altan has the presence. Regarding the revenue mix, as you know, we're 80-20. We expect that to keep in 20 and to increase slightly, but also the massive market will increase, and the weight that massive has, even though the increase in revenue is lower than what we're increasing in corporate, will keep it at 80-20. Hopefully, our aim is to get to 25 in the future years to come. That's what we would like to see of this company at 25, one quarter of the company being corporate in the next 3 to 5 years, because we expect to grow in the massive market still, and the basis are very different. Regarding the margins, I don't know, Luis, if you want to add on that regarding the high 40s and low 30s.
Yeah, Rodrigo, hi, thank you for your question. And yes, on the margins, that trend we will continue. That's how we see it. The mass market will remain in high 40s. And enterprise will be, including PCTV, that I'm thinking that you're considering PCTV within those numbers. So yes, that will continue to be around 33 to 34% margin.
And it might, as time passes by, the growth of the Metro Carrier MCM has higher margins, you know, than OLA and PCTV, and OLA way higher margins than what PCTV has. So I do, or we do expect that one to increase in terms of the,
yeah,
of the margin on that. PCTV will remain constant.
Right.
It is a content provider for cable and TV service, pay TV services. In that part, we don't see any growth, as you are aware of, a slightly growth. So OLA will continue to provide those 17 to 18% margin on that, but Metro Carrier has good margins based on our own network too in that part.
Sure. The maybe you can look at this thinking on the increasing revenues we get on the enterprise market will have margins more close to the 40s as an average than around 33 or 34.
Understood. Thank you. And just a final question related to the MVNO. I assume that the 11 cities where you launched already are basically the ones that are covered by the Altán network, correct? As Altán keeps increasing coverage, you would expand to new cities? Is that
correctly,
right?
Rodrigo. That's exactly what we're doing. We're not going to push any MVNO where we don't have the principal contract with our main provider. We have roaming agreement that is part of our business plan where we are not. So the aim is to have those subscribers consuming 97 to 98% of the packages in the city where we are, which is the behavior of mobile subscribers and data, and also take advantage of our network because they have fixed data with us. So it's exactly what you are describing. As you know, Altán is growing from the 30% initial coverage to 50, and now we're targeted to the 70%. The plan they have is to cover 92.5% of the population by year 2023, if I can recall. So we're going to grow with them in that part, which brings us a great advantage in terms of the network. So that will ease, and you have it really, really well written.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. And we can go next to Andres Coello with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I think you mentioned in the press release that you put together some retention strategies in the pay TV segment. I mean, it caught my attention that Televisa disconnected cable customers on the pay TV platform, but you guys actually managed to grow a little bit your pay TV base. And in the press release, you mentioned retention strategies. So I was wondering if you can give us some color as of what those retention strategies are. And I have another question. Thank you.
Sure, Andre. Well, those retentions continue to be focusing to doing things right and very, very on a very efficient way is to call them and to see disconnect them because we don't have any payment. After 5 days of they are disconnected, we go and we send people, we do the call and we see what their problem is. We send people to reconnect and to collect the money. And also we negotiate with them if they require to have a retention package. Let's say if they have a basic package with HD and 20 megabits or 30 megabits or 50, whatever they have, and they are out of work or they don't have any, their economic conditions slow down, we provide and we talk to them to provide them with a lower price package, but we don't want anybody to leave the company in that part. On the subscribers that has only video package, we try to provide them with a package with broadband, a special package that makes them be more attractive and increase and save money from other companies and keep it in our company for the few subscribers that still have single package with us. Those are pretty much, we increase our labor and part of our cost on the OPEX is because we have those calls to be made and those customers
to govern, because the main reason not to want to have our service is not because they want to disconnect from video or from data, it's because they can afford. So we need to we break down our subscriber base per economic social economic level, per region, per party, different to have a high economic region like Guanajuato, Querétaro, or the main central part of Mexico, than to have that in the southeast part of Mexico, where economic hit was stronger than the other one. So that's pretty much what we do. Try to be efficient and understand our subscriber needs and adjust to the needs of the moment. And whenever they want, they can upgrade their service again. There is no more than that. I don't know whether Televisa disconnect or not. We know that, for example, other companies, even Televisa, increase rates. So that's something that benefits them in terms of revenue on the third quarter, but maybe hit them in terms of subscribers. We will look into increase the rates. We increase rates in October, which we believe is a much more better time of the year to do that than to do that in the third quarter, where everybody has the pressure of the back to school campaign. So our strategy is always been clear. We understand the subscriber needs. We wait for the right time. We wait for the year, the end of the year. We continue to bring solid results in revenue. And that's why we are so confident that revenues will be good in the fourth quarter. And hopefully the good economy for the fourth quarter will take pressure away from what we do in the retention strategy, Andre.
Okay, very interesting answer, Raimundo, thank you. And I have another question on broadband. Also, you know, Megacable and Televisa reported lower or fewer broadband additions in the third quarter compared to the prior year. And, you know, you already mentioned that economic slowdown, so the economy may be playing a role in this slowdown of broadband growth. But I have two questions there. First will be, you know, if you believe that broadband penetration levels in some cities like Guadalajara may be starting to show some saturation, in the sense that broadband penetration may already start to be higher, so it's a bit more difficult to grow broadband in metropolitan areas. If you believe that that is the case, or that may be behind the slowdown in broadband growth. And the second one is, if you believe that Sky's new broadband product may be, on the one hand, potentially cannibalizing some of Televisa's broadband growth in their cities, and in your case, Sky putting a little bit more competition on the broadband segment.
Thank you, Andre. I like how you put the two situations. Let me answer the first one. In the metropolitan areas of the main cities where we are, broadband penetration remains at 63%. The majority of the emerging countries or high developed countries, they have a much more higher broadband penetration. Besides that, all the information that we get from the customers that we try to retain or we recover or we lost, we keep very close contact to them to understand what happened. None of them tell us that they don't want broadband because they don't need it, or they already get to the point that they will want to use that kind of service. What they tell us is, I cannot pay for that. So if we get economy to recover, I have no doubt that broadband will continue to grow and will be the driver for the growth of the massive market in the future to come. I have no doubt of that. We still haven't got the point of saturation. Of course, if the economy decreases, we will stay at 62, 63 or lower. That one is logical to expect. We need the economy to raise to get to that part on that area. Also, maybe we will adjust to more price or do other strategies like on bundle video, and just get broadband if we need to do that or want to do that. So we have different strategies that so far we haven't implemented. The other one, we don't see the growth of Sky's broadband in our systems according to our studies, we don't see that to be of a threat. More than that, it tells us that if, let me put it this way, the number of subscribers that we have and the market share that we have in broadband and video prove us that the part that the Sky or Dish has in our areas also has our competition, which is Infinity, not the Sky broadband. We're target to and we fight with them on a very fair market for that market share. Sky and Dish with Infinitum and us with the double or triple play package that we have in that area. It proves also that the subscribers that the Sky has in some of the areas are off net of our system. And it's logical to expect that they can have some of the broadband and improve their broadband where they did not have it or they have a poor network to get to those areas. So we don't have in our numbers a competition strongly from Sky. At least it doesn't appear yet in our systems. I don't want to talk for something that is not part of the mega cable market, but that's our information on how we base our strategy.
Okay, very clear, Ramundo. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, and we can go next to Ricardo Oviedo with GBM. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you. Good morning. This is actually Carlos Legarreta. Just very quickly, two questions. The first one is your current RGU per unique subscriber is at 2.3. And if I remember correctly, your target figure was 2.7. Yet Televisa just reported a figure almost at 2.9. Do you think it's reasonable for Mega to reach these levels as well? And the second question would be, your competitors also seem to be struggling with the government segment, yet Ola, who I understand has the largest share of customers from this segment, continues to grow at double digits. What is Mega doing differently? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Well, the RGUs we have is at 2.3, and we were targeting more than that, but as you know, we have a slowdown in the growth, a slowdown compared to what we had at the beginning in terms of data. That part. So if we have a higher growth in the data, we will continue to improve the RGUs per unit subscriber on that part. Telephony contributes with 17% growth, which is doing okay. We do foresee 2.5, 2.7. I don't know if we're going to target to 2.9. We're more worried, and our concern is to get to a higher ARPU per unit subscriber, whether it comes on the base of telephony or it comes on the base of HD, or it comes on the base of XBU, or it comes with the on base of increasing rates in 2020 once the economy gets better. Okay, as you all are aware, we have the lowest ARPU in the industry. So we still have room to grow in that part. We just want to continue to be the main provider of massive and residential services in the systems where we are. So we will continue to increase. And I'm not so sure we can get to 2.9, but you can bet 2.5, 2.7 will continue to come in the future. Related to government and Ola, Ola posted really good results, and Metro carried also good results. And those two, even though Ola has a higher share of sales to the government, government sales still represent 20%, no more than 20% of what we sell in the corporate sector. Ola having a higher, but it's not the majority of the subscribers that has dependency on the government, even though has a big chunk on the one. The what we have been doing right is to integrate, as years pass by, Ola and Metro Carrier as an infrastructure connectivity and IT solutions. We grow 100% cloud services within our subscribers on the hand of Ola. Of course, the cloud base is slow, but we have a 100% growth in revenue on that. Also, infrastructure and security is a really great driver for that company. Everybody is worried about security, so our connectivity on Metro Carrier and with all our security services is proving to be very good. Plus, we have operations in the on-net cities where we are. Those operations absorb the Ola services in the last 3 to 4 years, and every quarter that passes by, we have a better situation, we will expect that continues to be in the quarters to come. We don't see any reason why not. And mostly our strength is not to depend on government so much into the corporate sector.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. And we'll go next to Arturo Lenga with Itaú BBA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. If I may, I have three quick ones. But first is just some housekeeping. But on the guidance for your EBITDA, year-to-date you're growing at 7%, which is a bit below what you were guiding last quarter, even when including Axtel's subscriber base. I was just wondering if, based on your comments that you made for the fourth quarter, if you're maintaining that growth guidance range of close to 10%, or if we should expect something a little bit lower. Also, I was wondering if you could share some comments regarding your data center business. We're seeing, for example, other competitors, such as Axtel, divesting in the data center business, and I believe you're close to launching one, the first one for Megacable. Just what difference in the market are you seeing relative to them? And also, if you could share if this is a high capex business, and if you plan to build a lot more data centers, and if so, what impact would that have on your consolidated capex? And then, sorry for the last one, but on Altán, I was wondering, this is your provider for your MVNO, but we have 5G around the corner, and maybe 2022, something like that, and we were not really seeing Altán participate to date in aggressively in other spectrum. So I was just wondering, how would Altán, or considering your equity partners, how do they plan to sort of keep up with the industry in terms of 5G, and also for your MVNO, what plans do you have on that front? Those will be my questions. Thank you.
Sure. Let me. Please, you want to go ahead with the good news with the guidance?
Yeah. With regarding the guidance, we think that even though there's a little pressure on EBITDA mainly in on the lines and of course on video subscribers, but we think we will be capable of reaching. There's a little bit of pressure on EBITDA, as you point out, but we will be capable of reaching our targets on that, around the 10%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah, we expect that.
Data center?
Related to the data center that we have, I think we have a difference with Axtel on that part, even though they have longer time on that. We have a huge subscriber base, corporate base, and a great footprint across the nation. We also have our data center located in Guadalajara. So the future of data center will be to have a major availability zone in probably Mexico City or Querétaro, but you will continue to look for edge sites across Mexico. One of them will be the west coast or the west part of our country, which is located in Guadalajara. So far, we feel that the hyperscalers or big carriers like what we built and what we have, and also our corporate companies will look into that in the years to come. Our facility is aimed to our existing base as a complement of what we have, of what we're selling with Ola, and also part of that facility was also built for mega cable purposes. We do not expect to grow in terms of data centers and to put capex into that one. It's a high capex, high margin as of today. We want to get into that, and we will stay into what we already spent. The capex is part of what we are presenting and we're reporting. It's part of our special project, and it's part of the level of capex that we have reported to you, so we're not putting any more pressure above the levels of capex that are expecting from the market and from our shareholders. So we're happy that we did it. We're opening, like Enrique said, it is a state-of-the-art data center, one of the best in the country, and hopefully we will get more businesses coming not from the data center, but the data center will bring bundle of revenues to the connectivity and the cloud services that Ho1a sells. So it's part of our strategy to have an integrated vertical products for the corporate segment and our subscribers.
Great, thank you. And just on the question on Altán, thank you for allowing me three questions.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot Altán. You're right. I spoke from the data center. Altán has a brand new 4.5G network. It has a great frequency for data. It is covering and aims to cover 92.5% or 92.3% of the population of this country. 5G is coming, but it's going to come slow, and it's going to come with main cities first, and not to have all the coverage in the cities where we have, where you need to invest a lot of money for the output that the mass, that the subscribers represent so far. We expect to get good results from the market in the next 3 to 5 years, and then we'll see all the agreements that we can have with other companies to get use of 5G in the future to come. We are not just a married to Altán. We're married to Altán right now because it has the best network on 4.5 with no saturation and a great speed to our subscribers. But we're open to do 5G with whoever comes in the future. If, as you are describing, Altán is not going to invest into that, whoever of the other three will come. By that time, I'm pretty sure the customer base and the amount of bandwidth that we will consume will be of interest of any of the other three players.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you for your answers, Enrique, Raimundo, and Luis. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruno.
Thank you. And as a reminder to our audience, that's star one to ask a question and the pound key to remove yourself from the queue. We'll take a follow-up question from Carlos Segarreta with GBM. Please go ahead. And Carlos, your line is open.
I think Carlos already made a question before.
Yeah,
just okay. A follow-up. Mm-hmm. But if it's a follow-up, welcome, Carlos.
Carlos is not there.
No.
Okay.
Anything
and
else?
And it appears that we have no further questions at this time. I'd like to return the floor back to Mr. Yumini for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much, and it's always a pleasure to have these conferences and these chats. Thank you very much for your interest. Please contact our investor relations department if you have any questions or concerns regarding the company. And thank you all. Thank you, Luis. Thank you, Raimundo.
Thank you. We appreciate the time and following our company, our organization. We're very happy with the results and are looking to a better end of the year and a great 2020.
Yeah, and despite the very difficult economic situation, we will continue to make our best efforts and to continue to deliver good results to the shareholders of the company and the market. Thank you very much and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Ciao.